And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years now and allows me to be here on Wednesdays and the rest of the broadcasters to be here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. And like I say, bring you great shows like today's. We're experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty now on our end. Peter DePalma is supposed to be calling in with Mother Gabriel, and we're going to be talking about the gift of the divine will. And I see the phone's ringing now, so he may be with us in just a second. In the meantime, a couple of reminders of upcoming retreats. Out at Malvern, the weekend of May 10th to the 12th will be a Mother's Day retreat at Malvern. Men and women are invited, Kathleen McCarthy and Father Chris Allar from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception will be the retreat directors. Families are invited out for Sunday Mass. Also, the third weekend in August, August 16th to the 18th, is my traditional men's Catholic retreat. Father Bryce Lundgren will be the retreat director. He was a guest on the show last March, where we talked about his book, The Catholic Cowboy Way. And it'd be a great retreat for both of them. You can register online at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. And we're going to be talking about the divine will here. And it looks like they are back on the line. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Ken.
Hey, Peter. Mother Gabriel?
Yes, I'm here. How are you, Ken?
I'm wonderful, sister, and I'm much better for hearing your voice. Thank you. Just before we get started, I mentioned a couple of retreats that are going on at Malvern, and the one I didn't mention yet is July 5th to the 7th at the Malvern Retreat House will be another Divine Will retreat. I know Mother Gabriel was there last year, and Mary B's working with some folks to nail down the final plans for that. So, but people can register for that on online as well at malvernretreat.com or give the retreat house a call. So, Mother Gabriel, welcome back. It is great to have you with us. As I mentioned before we started this show, at the end of the last show, Mother Gabriel Marie is the foundress of the Benedictine Daughters of the Divine Will. And Peter DePalma is a man of all things divine will. He hosts a number of cenacles at Mary's Hill, most of which are over the internet using Zoom. And he's all over the place. He's in Nome, Alaska now, the Philippines, China, and then, of course, a number of gatherings that he has each week here in the United States. And you can learn all about it at queenofthedivinewill.org. I always forget, Peter.
It's a .org.
.org. Yeah. queenofthedivinewill.org. And you can get in touch with Peter through his website, and he'll put you on his mailing list and keep you abreast of everything that's going on with him. So, Peter, welcome back. Another month has flown by, and we're here to talk about the gift of the divine will.
Yeah. And thank you for the introduction. I mean, I wish all that were true. But what is true, Ken, is, yes, Mother Gabriel, as you mentioned, she's the Mother Superior and the foundress of the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. Now in a couple locations, two locations in Italy and one in Maryville, Tennessee, where Mother's coming to us right now. And many do not know, and some do know, that she began as a poor Claire, the Perpetual Adoration Sister in the United States, and for, I guess it was over 35 years, right, Mother, that she was under the guidance of, holy guidance of the late Abyss Mother Angelica, who was the foundress of the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament and EWTN. And you know, Mother was the secretary. And, you know, I know that the secretary, as sometimes we think about a secretary not having a really important job, but trust me, you know, the Secretary of State represents the country. The Secretary General has a great job. Luisa was called the Secretary of the Divine Will, an incredibly interesting job and powerful job. And Mother was the secretary to Mother Angelica. So you can't make this stuff up. And what happened was, and Mother, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere around 1998 or so, things are going great. I mean, there's all kinds of celebrities and theologians coming on EWT, and Mother's in the midst of all of this. And then I think a young apostolate under Mother's care requested or asked Mother for permission to read a book. given to her by her grandmother. And it was a book on the divine will. And then when mother began reading it, she instantly fell in love with the divine will writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. And she gave up even holy things to embrace this gift 100%. I think we'll talk about giving up holy things later on. Mother, am I accurate in most of what I just said?
Yeah, I was 33 when I entered, and I was there for 33 years. I started this at 66, so I figured maybe I've got 33 years as a Benedictine.
Ah, there you go.
33 is a good number.
Let's hope.
But anyway, yes, and I fell in love with it. I couldn't wait to get more books. At that point, we were just getting the books that Tom Fahey had been translating, and they would come in, you know, slowly but surely. And then later on, Marina Di Ardiana started translating the volumes, and I got all of hers, and I liked hers. Both were good, but, you know, Marina lived near Luisa. She grew up in Italy, southern Italy, so she understood the dialect and the culture, and she lived in Italy for 20 years, and she went to Harvard University and got a degree there and went to work for Ignatius Press in California, in San Francisco, and she rented an apartment connected to the Carmelite monastery. The Carmelite nuns gave her the key to their chapel, and she translated all 36 volumes before the Blessed Sacrament. So, well, she came to stay with us a while in Italy, and she was always translating before the Blessed Sacrament. So she's, I really like her translation. And Father Bucci, who's the only living priest at the time who grew up knowing Luisa, used to go to her house. His Aunt Rosario took great care of Luisa. He gave Marina a copy of the original copy of Luisa's writings, and so she did it from that. So anyway, that's how I started getting those, and my friend Father Celso started sending me copies of all these books for the other sisters who were interested in reading the Divine Will. I was novice mistress for 16 years, so during that time, some of my novices wanted to read the books, and so they were getting more involved in it. They were falling in love with it, too. Then I was vicar for the last 9 years I was there, and so Mother Angelica had a stroke. So people would come to the parlor to see Mother, and she couldn't go because she was bedridden. So I would end up going to the parlor to say hello to the people because I was functioning as abbess and vicar at the time. And I would always end up sharing the divine will with these people. So I just couldn't stop sharing it after I received this gift. It was so fantastic, and I thought, this is the greatest thing I've ever received. And I just wanted to share it with everybody that came my way.
Yeah, sister.
And we're so thankful you did, yeah. Mother. Yeah. I mean, you know, but again, this is that, you know, when Jesus talks to Luisa and speaks to us through Luisa, when he talks, Mother and Ken, about, you know, giving up holy things, sometimes that's difficult to understand. I mean, why would he want to give up holy things? To do what, unholy things? No. But what he's saying is basically is that we need to take a pause as to whatever we're doing and sort of go under the umbrella. It's raining, and we have to go under the umbrella of the divine will. And I also correlate it to, like, for example, when you're on an airplane, it doesn't make sense sometimes when they do the announcement, they're giving you the instructions, they say, well, if the cabin pressure falls, you know, the oxygen mask is going to come down. And they say, well, do not place the oxygen mask on your children or young people first. You say, why? Wouldn't they take care of them first? No, you place it on yourself first, because what good is it if you're holding the mask on your child and you pass out? You can't hold the mask any longer. So you stabilize yourself, and then you bring it to the children, sort of like the same thing what Jesus is saying about giving up even holy things. Go under the umbrella of the divine will, and then go back out and do what you're doing, because now God has transformed what you're going to do into something, I guess, which emulates, to me, the greatest example of the communion of saints. It now will effectuate and give a positive change to all souls, will have an impact on all souls, past, present, and future, unlike if you go out there right now and just pray the rosary, we're effectuating perhaps change for three generations, young, the middle-aged, and the elderly. So, again, it's a whole different dynamic, a whole different dimension. And, again, it's sometimes hard to believe at times. How can that be done? How are we born? How do we breathe? How does our blood flow? How does our heart work for as long as it does, as hard as it does? These are all mysteries of God. So, again, we trust God. We don't limit God.
Yes, a lot of holy things you could do out there, but if we did them all, we'd have no time to do anything else. You know, so you have to, you know, what is God calling me to do? What holy things does God want me involved in? Well, holy thing for us, of course, is going to Mass and communion every day. For us religious, we are obligated by the church to do the divine office. So we do seven little hours of the divine office every day. Our Lady in Medjugorje asks for the rosary. She's asked for 15-decade rosary. I try to get them in every day. Sometimes I don't, but we do say a community rosary together. We say we feel that the divine office, a divine mercy chaplet is important. At 3 o'clock, we always do the divine mercy chaplet. So those are the holy things that we feel that God wants us to do. We even do the Flame of Love rosary when we do the rosary, the community rosary together. But, you know, and then we have an hour of reading, spiritual reading of the divine will every day, a half hour in the morning, a half hour in the afternoon. We have an hour of adoration we each take in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. So those are the holy things we feel called to. And you have to see in your own life, what are the holy things God is calling you to do? If you embrace the divine will, that's a very holy thing to do. And that will encompass everything because, you know, the divine will is a way of, when you understand it, it's a way of praying always. You don't have to change what you're doing. You just do everything you do according to his will and in his will, meaning in order to live in his will, of course, you have to do his will. The difference is that you ask him to do his will in you. He told Luisa in the volumes that he relived every life of every person in a perfect way. So there's a perfect life of each one of us that Jesus did for us, that when we call him in our activities, what are we doing? We're calling to what he already did for us, taking it as a gift and returning it to him. The reason for all of that is to give the Father all the honor and glory he should have gotten had Adam and Eve never sinned. So Jesus repaired for everything so that his Father could get all the glory he deserves. So in the end, it will be like no one ever sinned because he relived every life for even those people whose souls will be damned. So the Father will get the glory as if all those people who weren't even saved lived perfect lives. So it's all about giving the Father all the honor and glory he deserves. It's all about God's love for us and us returning that love to him. The whole divine will is all about love, teaching us how much God loves us and how he wants that love returned to him. It's a way of being grateful for all of his gifts. So all day long, you can be in the morning, we say a little prayer. We say, Jesus, come do everything in and through me throughout the day in your divine will. Now, we have a little formula, a little prayer we say, but you can say it in your own words. He sees your heart, and he knows what you want and what you mean, what you desire, and he makes it a reality. And then during the day, you might call him into whatever you're doing. You're driving the car. Jesus, come drive the car in me, in your divine will. Eternal Father looks down. He doesn't see you driving the car, but his son Jesus driving the car. Jesus already did that act for you in a perfect way. You're taking it as your own, and you're giving it back to him to give the Father the glory that he should have gotten. You do that in everything, every heartbeat, every breath that you take. Jesus encompassed all of our heartbeats, all of our breaths in his own from the time of his conception to his public life. He relived each person's life to the fullest. So everything he did, he called in all of those activities that we would do in the same way so that we walked. He took all of our walking into his walking, all of our thoughts into his thoughts. So we are so united to him. There's a oneness between us and Jesus, and he wants us, our will, to be totally united to his will. We always keep that free will. It's a gift from God. You won't lose that free will. It's a way of proving your love to God. But his will and our will, we want to become one so that we die to ourselves totally. And the more you do this, the more you call Jesus into all of your activities, the more you shrink and the bigger he gets in you. And as you shrink and Jesus gets bigger in you, you begin to see yourself through his eyes. And as you see yourself through his eyes, you see the perfection of God. It's like a mirror. You get closer to the mirror, you see all your imperfections more. The closer we get to God, the more we see him, the more we see ourselves. But we see ourselves with joy and peace and gratitude, knowing that God loves us. No matter how many faults we have, how many struggles we have, our Lord loves us immensely, and he doesn't love us less for that. He's just calling us always to deeper conversion, to transformation. And as we do these acts, and we also have rounds in divine will, we become more like him. So we take on the attributes and the virtues of Jesus, and that's what we all want. Our joy increases. When I started reading these volumes in 1998, things that used to bother me before didn't bother me anymore. I got all this joy. I began to see him and all of his creation. I'd sit out in the yard and by the creek at EWTN and read the writings, and I'd see these little chipmunks, and I was just so enthralled with everything God created. He told Louisa, in order to do rounds in Divine Will, we desire to put an I love you on everything he created. Now, he puts it on there for us, on all the things that we desire. For instance, he told Louisa, if you have a desire to put an I love you on every leaf, on every tree, you don't have to go with a pen to do that. I see your heart. I see the desire of your heart, and I take that desire, and it becomes a reality. I put the I love you on every leaf, on every tree for you. And that I love you, because he puts it on there for us, it becomes a divine I love you, because Jesus did it. It shouts out to the Eternal Father for all eternity from you. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. And you can duplicate that. You can do it over and over again. You put your I love you on all of his animals, on every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every grain of dirt. And that gives the Father all the glory that he should have gotten. We want to show gratitude for all these beautiful gifts he's given us. We do that in creation, redemption, and sanctification. You put your I love you on everything Jesus did in his life. When we pray the rosary, we do that. We do a divine will rosary. You can put your I love you on every aspect of every mystery in the rosaries. The birth of Jesus, you put your I love you on the moment he was born. And he told Louisa, too, that we're all conceived with him. And so Our Lady is our mother, too. In his conception, he put all of our conceptions in with his. He wanted to be so united to us, so much one with us. So it's a beautiful, beautiful gift. This is the greatest gift. And he told Louisa, this is the greatest thing, because his will willed everything. His will willed redemption. His will willed his mercy. So his will willed us to be. And we were always in the mind of God from all eternity. Each one of us were in the mind of God. So we existed in his mind for all eternity. And we're all each chosen out of millions of people who will never be. But he chose you. He chose me. He chose each one of us. And that's how we have to respect each other so much and love one another, because each person was chosen by God and is loved immensely by God.
What a sense of humor he has, too.
Yeah. And, I'm listening to Sister...
What a sense of humor, God.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, you know, and I'm listening to the Sister talk...
How do you get your arms around that, Ken?
I'm sorry?
How do you get your arms around that, right? It's just so overwhelming.
Well, you know what comes to mind, Peter, is... you know, Mother Gabriel was there last July when we did the first Divine Will Retreat out at Malvern. And my good friend, Father Douglas McKay, who was on with me in the previous hour, it was his first weekend at Malvern as the rector. And I was going to be interested to hear what he had to say when he came back to the ministry in South Philadelphia the following week. And here he had gotten a few of the books and given them to a few people. But the one thing that he said to me that has stuck with me is that he had never been anywhere with so many joy-filled people in his life. And there were over 300 people on that retreat. And he said to a person, they weren't happy. They were joyful. They were so full of joy that it was palpable. And you can hear it with Mother Gabriel right now, when we have Sister Francesca on, she's been on a couple of times, the joy just oozes from the people that are trying to live out this gift of the divine will, even in our own cynical, you know, Maureen Lamedy and Deacon John and the different people that I've really gotten to know intimately as a result of learning a little bit about this gift. I think what's so attractive about it is the joy that people experience once you understand, to Mother's point, how much God really loves us. And I'm finding that now part of a passion clock and reading the 24 hours of the Passion and how Jesus expressed himself to Louisa, and that how he went through everything he went through out of love for us.
Yeah. And the Passion book is more about his interior suffering. So we read a lot of Passion books about his exterior sufferings. But he revealed to Louisa he suffered much more interiorly than he did exteriorly. And when we read the Passion book, which is a wonderful time to read it right now during Lent, when we read that, you put yourself in his place. you actually feel you're within Jesus, feeling what he felt interiorly. You know, being suffering so much because he loves each soul so much, and knowing that in spite of all he was going to suffer for us, souls would still be lost. That was a great suffering for Jesus, you know. And, you know, I realized, too, I was thinking lately, you know, sometimes you have good days and sometimes you have bad days. For some reason, some days you just kind of feel blah. You don't know why. There's nothing wrong. Nothing happened. You feel fine physically. You just don't feel as you know, upbeat as you usually do. And our Lord told Louisa in those times, she used to experience that, too. He wanted her to suffer with him for souls that were being lost. And so she would take on, she would, to alleviate some of his suffering, take on the suffering that he was having to deal with. So sometimes he asks us to do that, too. Sometimes your day might not be going so good, but our Lord wants you to suffer some of that with him, you know?
Yeah. And I think as Catholics, we can give meaning to our suffering, whether it's from our grade school days when they, you know, we'd always hear offer it up. But our suffering does have meaning, and it's only, going on 3 years, sister, that I've known about their mother, that I've learned about this gift of the divine will. And even this brings on a whole new meaning to suffering, to be able to join it with Christ's suffering and know that, and know that it does have meaning, and not only in my own life, but as Peter and you have said a couple of times already today, for all the souls past, present, and future. And I think,
right.
And I think that's the hard part maybe for people to wrap their head around. But the more you read the readings and or the writings and familiarize yourself with it and delve into it, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, Ken, Mother, really quickly, is, you know, when we suffer, just suffering, just to suffer is not redemptive. That really doesn't have value. But when we suffer united with Christ's suffering, that's where the value
that's
is.
Right, that's right, yeah.
It's done so spectacularly through the divine will. In fact, Father Nuzzi says, if you have a limited amount of time and you want the greatest impact, read and study and pray the hours of the Passion, because it's the most intimate relationship you could possibly have with our blessed Lord of all time. I mean, again, going back to Adam and Eve. So this opportunity is overwhelming, but it's here and it's real. And we have to believe that.
Yeah, he told Louisa that every word read in his Passion in the divine will saves a soul. Now that, because every word, when you say, Jesus, come read this in me, Jesus is reading every word. So that becomes a divine act of Jesus doing it within you, and that's why every word saves a soul. Whatever Jesus does is divine. Our human acts are human. They have a beginning and end. A divine act has no beginning and no or end. It's eternal. It's such a great gift. How much he gives us. All of this is a gift from God. We just have to want it, accept it, receive it, and live it. And you know, we read the volumes, but we want to just apply what we read, not just read it and let it go by the wayside, but to apply it. And the more you call him into everything, on the way I feel I can do it is to realize him acting in me, doing everything in and through me throughout the day. So after a while, you may say it in words, and after a while, it becomes just thoughts. And then after that, it becomes a way of life. I've talked to two people in Ireland who really are very much into the divine will, and they told me it's no longer so much a word or a thought. It's just a way of life. They know that Jesus is doing everything in and through them, and they realize his presence within. Getting back to suffering, you know, St. Teresa of Avila appeared to someone and said if she could come back to earth to do anything, it would be she'd want to come back and suffer, because the suffering she suffered on earth with resignation gave her such a high place in heaven. And our Lord, throughout the volumes, tells Louisa that the greatest gift is the gift of suffering. And those who suffer will invite Jesus to suffer within their suffering, have the highest places in heaven, because that is the greatest gift. You know, it's just you inviting Jesus to suffer in your suffering. He's within each one of you. We're walking tabernacles. The Trinity dwells within us. So Jesus is aware very much of everything that you're dealing with, everything you're feeling and thinking. He's so much a part of your life, each one of us. And he loves us intensely. You know, he wants you to think of him. One little thought of God tickles him pink. He loves us so much. If we realize his love for us, we die of joy. We couldn't handle it. So he hides it from us. In the divine will, you won't so much feel things. When I go to communion, I say, Jesus, I want to love you with your own love in receiving you. I want to bring all souls, past, present, and future, to receive you with me and love you in each one of these souls with your own love. Now, I don't feel any different, but I believe that because I desire that, it's happening. I am loving him with his own love. And so it's all about faith and desire, not about feelings. But you're going to see as you do this, more and more you do this, you're being transformed. How can you tell this gift is a great gift from God? By the fruit it bears in your life. Amen. You judge everything by the fruit. And there's controversy out there. But the church has already approved all the volumes with three theologians. Father Elijah and I talked to the postulator for Luisa's cause a couple of years ago, Monsignor Paolo Ricci in the Vatican. And at that point, they were getting ready to beatify Luisa. I forget what year, it might have been 2019. In 2020, they decided to put it on hold because if they would beatify Luisa, and there was some ambiguities that people were misunderstanding in the volumes, they had to clarify that first, because once they beatify her, this is going to grow very fast. And they wanted to clarify any confusion people have in the writings. Our Lord told Luisa, there's nothing wrong with the writings. If they find fault with it, it's their own lack of understanding. But they may need to clarify a few things that people are misinterpreting, so that there's no confusion in the future, and then they're going to continue with her beatification. So there's nothing changed. It's just been on hold right now, but there's some rumors out, and people are sending emails all over that the divine will is condemned. That's not true. That's false information. Father Elijah called Don Marco, who was very involved in the whole cause in Corato with the Archbishop and Father Don Sergio, and he said, no, nothing's been changed. That's all rumor. In 2020, they put it on hold and only to straighten out the ambiguities. So we have nothing to worry about. This is of God. It's a beautiful gift. You can feel free to read it. The Archbishop of Corato encouraged us to read it, to spread it, to even print copies and give it to others. He just asked us at that point not to publish it. But, you know, it's a beautiful gift. You don't want to miss out on it. And as you get to the higher volumes, it gets even more and more beautiful. You never stop reading it. Once I finish volume 36, I go back to number one. I've read them many times now. And every time I read them, I learn new things. It's all new. It's just like the scriptures. It's always new to you. You know, you never get tired of reading the scriptures. You never get tired of reading the Divine Will volumes. It's beautiful. So I encourage everybody out there, if you want to find the volumes on YouTube, you can just Google Luisa, Luisa, .lev, as in base, .hu. That's Luisa.lev.hu, and you can all find all 36 volumes there. It's a very good translation. You can download them on a Kindle app or something on your phone. That's how I've got mine. Or you can go to Blanc Printing and order all the books. I think it's like $140 for all the volumes. And that phone number for Blanc Printing in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania is 412-221-6400. That's 412-221-6400. So it's out there, and it's easy to get if you want it. It's all over Internet. Peter's got lots of things on his website. You can go to his website. If you want to go to our website, it's benedictionsofdivinewill.org. You go to the family tree, and you go down to Luisa Picadetta or the Divine Will, and you go and you find the volumes there and the drop book and some other things. The drop book is a children's book written about the Divine Will, written by this woman that explains the Divine Will beautifully. I always encourage even adults to read it before they get to the volumes to get a really good understanding about what the Divine Will is all about. Then you understand the volumes better, but the drop book is a priceless little book that really will help you understand what our Lord was teaching Luisa.
True. Ken, I know we're coming up on a break. Maybe when we come back, I can touch a bit on what Mother said about the rumors about the errors. I want to tell you, we're going to read what Jesus says about the errors that are contained in these writings. What? It's startling, but we'll do it after the break.
Very good. And it is time to take the break. We've kind of run past the bottom of the hour, but that's all right. The break's going to be short. For those that are listening, don't go away because we're coming right back.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. And thank you so much for being with us for whatever part of the 2 hours you're able to spend with us today and every day, Monday through Friday, over 800 a.m., live on our Facebook page at In His Sign Catholic Radio, as well as the WTMR app. And our guests today are Peter DePalma and Mother Gabriel Marie, the foundress and Superior of the Benedictine Daughters of the Divine Will, and blessed to have them with us. Just a reminder that all the shows do get recorded, and I know Sister was plowing through some information there before we took the break as to where to find the volumes, and we'll try to get the recording of the show posted either late tonight or first thing tomorrow at inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, you'll be able to download that and re-listen if need be. So before we went to the break as well, we were talking a little bit about the recent happenings in the world of the gift of the divine will. And I suspect that this happens from time to time where the rumors come out and or even what appear to be official writings that, you know, talk about the fact that there might be issues with the writings. And Peter, I'll give you the go ahead in a second here, but when I first saw the latest round, it reminded me of the story that Father Michael Gately would talk about with Saint Faustina and her diary, and how that had gotten buried, and the folks at the Vatican, when Pope John the 23rd took office, that they put it on the bottom of the stack that to deal with, hoping or figuring that he would never get to it. And he flipped that stack over, and the first thing he started working on or had assigned out was somebody to review that diary, you know, similar with Louis de Montfort and his writings, that for whatever reason these things get buried for some time and come out into the light later. And I just wonder how much of that is what we're seeing now. And just the one final thing, this usually happens when you're over the target, right? When you know you're close and you're about to have success, that's when the enemy or the evil one may pop his head out and try to slow it down or put a stop to it. Peter?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Satan doesn't fuss around with that which he has already. He always goes for the good. But, you know, really quickly, there's that old phrase I think that Mark Twain's given credit for. He said that, you know, a lie will travel halfway around the world before truth puts his boots on. You know, it's going to be out there. So there's a lot of misinformation. I think some of it unintentional. Perhaps some of it is intentional. Now, there was this one rumor about that Father Annuzzi located 5 or 6 errors in the writings. And, oh, my goodness, everyone's, you know, they're getting mad at Father Annuzzi. Well, the truth of the matter is Faber and Uzi did find five or six errors, but they're not in Luis's writings. They're in the way, the approach in which the Vatican is going about it. And just to give you one example is they're taking a sentence or two, and they're trying to understand that fully without what's written before it and what's written after it. And this is again, going to happen with anything. We know that the Pope is misquoted, you know, I remember many times, you know, like receive communion. But if you go back, he says if they repent, if they change their lives, if they come back to the church, you know, everything is, so you have to read the whole entire thing. So basically, Jesus, in volume 3, January 8th, 1900, it's entitled, "The Errors Contained in These Writings, Which Will Do Good." And wow, sounds scandalous, but I'm just going to read two lines of what Jesus says. And it's very important. This is exactly what Father Nuzzi was talking about. This is Jesus speaking, quote, "I assure you that they will find not a shadow of vice or anything which is not virtue. Because while you write, Luisa, I myself will guide your hand. At the most, they may find a few errors at first sight. But if they look at them thoroughly, they will find the truth." End quote. So if you take that one-liner and you try to explain it without going before it and after it, that's exactly what's happening right now. So Jesus knew. He also said that the church will look at it from a human perspective. These are divine realities which cannot be translated directly into human languages. Like, you know, like in some languages, there's not a direct translation. So all's going to be well. Jesus knew this. The church knows it deep down. It's all going to come to fruition. And it gives us a great opportunity, like Mother said, to embrace this gift with faith. Because in volume 2, Jesus says, faith equals God. We can't.
Our Lord told her that no one will stop this. It will happen. Once he ordains something, it happens. And he says they may slow it down, but it will come. Everyone in the future will be living in God's most holy divine will. And I remember reading the Marian Movement of Priests, Father Golby's book, his Revelations from Our Lady, and I think it's 1991, August 15th. Father Golby didn't know anything about the divine will at that point. He got involved in it later in the 90s. But in 1991, August 15th, which is considered the Divine Will Feast Day because Our Lady was the first to enter heaven who lived totally in the Divine Will, and that's the Feast of the Assumption. He said that Our Lady told Father Golby on that day that everyone in the future would be living in his holy divine will, and she explained to him that what that was. And so, you know, that's it's just such a beautiful gift, and everybody in heaven and purgatory, they're all in God's divine will. They know everything. They know the truth about who God is right now, you know. And so we have to realize that you're going to be living in his divine will. Not, if not on this earth, you'll have to go to purgatory to get there totally. But in heaven, you will be totally in his divine will, also in purgatory, because then you know the truth. You know the truth. And our Lord said those who live totally in divine will here on earth will bypass purgatory. So that's a great thing to aim for. You know, it's like my friend Ralph Martin, I heard him say once, don't aim for purgatory. If you miss, you get hell. Aim for heaven. If you miss, you get purgatory. But those living in divine will miss purgatory and go straight to heaven. So, and I think, you know, we should pray. I'm going to encourage people, too, to pray for the poor souls in purgatory because they will intercede for you. You pray for them to get to heaven quicker. They will be interceding for you. And they can intercede for you right now in purgatory. They want some work to do, so you let them put them to work for you and have them pray for you in your daily lives, everything you have to deal with, everything that you feel God is asking you to pray for.
Yeah,
that's... Wait to see what they do once they get to heaven. There's not an ungrateful soul in heaven, so
right.
Everything comes back. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah,
really is the communion of saints.
Yeah, you know, every year around All Saints Day, I usually have a woman on, Susan Tassone, who Mother Gabriel is probably aware of. And
I know her.
Yeah, she's the purgatory lady. She's she comes on every year and gets us fired up and praying for their souls. And to your point, you know, if you happen to be the one or part of the cadre that helps somebody make the move from purgatory to heaven, you've got a friend for all of eternity. And as a result, I was, you know, a few years back, I was not one that was big on praying for the holy souls. And today, at every Mass, if nothing else, the St. Gertrude prayer to help them along their journey.
That's a lot. Beautiful promise in that prayer, and that's why we do the Flame of Love Rosary, because that's accepted by the Church, the Flame of Love. And and if you every Hail Mary, Flame of Love Hail Mary, you say, every Hail Mary, Flame of Love Hail Mary in the month of November takes 10 souls out of purgatory. And during the rest of the year, every three Flame of Love Hail Marys takes one soul out of purgatory. So, you know, I encourage you, if you don't know what the Flame of Love Rosary is, you can Google it and get the prayer. And pray your rosaries like that. At least one rosary a day will get lots of souls out of purgatory. You can also do a plenary indulgence, get a plenary indulgence every day and take a poor soul out of purgatory. If you go to Mass and Communion on that day and confession within a week before or 8 days before or after, and you pray some prayers for the Holy Father, you can get a plenary indulgence by making the Stations of the Cross every day or praying a rosary with a group or reading a half hour of scripture. I also think a Holy Hour of Adoration, you can get a plenary indulgence. But there's a little book came out of the Vatican, all the ways you can get a plenary indulgence. So, and you can also Google that on YouTube, trying to see what things you can do to get a plenary indulgence every day.
Yeah, I've been spreading that word ever since I had a great priest on about a year ago, Father Tom Morrow. He wrote a book called Straight to Heaven, and we talked about the same thing, sister. And when I, back in the 90s, I had learned that my grandfather was one of 17 kids. I thought he was one of three. And my father didn't talk about his father a whole lot. And when I found out, I started doing genealogy work and putting together the family tree. And, you know, I always wondered what this was going to come to. And now it's when you get those plenary indulgences, because you can either apply that to yourself or to somebody who's deceased. You can't pass it along to somebody who's still alive, but I found myself going back through that family tree and trying to offer a plenary indulgence on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, God gives us so many gifts in the Church. It's such a wonderful thing to be a Catholic. We have so much, you know, we pray for our dead, we pray for our relatives and friends, and you know, some people don't believe there is such a thing as purgatory, but purgatory is such a beautiful gift because it's like a bath. You know, you wouldn't want to go to a big party or something dirty. You wouldn't want to get cleaned up. If you could go to heaven not perfect, you would not have perfect joy for all eternity. So heaven is a place, purgatory is a place to get cleansed, to get purified, so that your joy for all eternity in heaven could be much greater. And the soul, God longs for the soul to come to him, and the soul longs to go to God. But the soul, that because the soul's not perfectly pure yet, it just throws itself where it belongs because it can't stay in the perfection of God. God is so perfect if it's not totally pure, not totally perfect. So purgatory is a great gift that God has given us. And, you know, the scriptures, it says it's a good thing to pray for the dead. Why will you pray for the dead? If they're in hell, the prayers won't help them. If they're in heaven, they don't need prayers. So that proves that there is a purgatory.
Amen.
I never heard about purgatory being a bath. That's a great analogy, Mother.
Yeah, beautiful. It's a bath. It's a good bath.
So the last time Peter brought you to my show, sister or mother, you were still in Italy. And since then, believe the construction has started on the monastery in Maryville, and you've come stateside. How's the transition been?
Well, you know, we moved here at the end of October, and we were living in a little house near the monks. They said, Father says Mass. We don't see them all day, but we do see them at Mass in the morning. We have a beautiful Mass together, and sometimes it goes a whole hour, sometimes an hour and a half. But we're just about a five-minute ride from the little mountain where we're trying to build the monastery. It's not started yet. We just got the permits to go on with it. The excavators found that the land up on the top hadn't been stabilized well enough to put a monastery on it, so they have to do a bit of work, which is going to cost between a half a million and a million. So Tom, the guy trying to build it for us, is working on getting the funds for all of that. Then we'll start building the monastery. We'll have one for the women and one for the men, maybe a 20-minute walk from each, from one to the other. A beautiful, beautiful view up there because you're up in the Smoky Mountains, and so Little Mountain overlooks a lot of other beautiful mountains in the area. So we're looking forward to the day that could be built. We'll be able to put more sisters over there than we can here. I have room for eight here, and I have five. One of them's entering on the first on Friday. She's entering on the first. Another one is entering in June, the end of June. And so I only have one little room left without a window. I'm just going to use that for discerners right now. I can't take any more sisters until the place is built. I've got two other aspirants right now visiting occasionally until the monastery is built. So I have one here right now, but I can't take her. She'd like to enter, but I don't have room for her right now. And another one that's coming to visit tomorrow. She comes regularly. She lives in the area, so she comes back and forth and spends a day with us sometimes. So here in America, we'll get more vocations. That's why I knew we had to come to America. We started the community in Italy in 2011, April 12, 2011. The women's community was founded about 4 years before the men. And so we found a bishop in northern Italy that accepted us. And he was very little in accepting us without really knowing us. He said, "Do you know anybody in Rome?" I said, "Well, I know Cardinal Burke." He says, "Well, have him call me, and if he approves, then you just start." And so Cardinal Burke called him, and we started. And we were able to start the order there. They have a lot of empty places in Italy. They're closing a lot of monasteries right now. They wanted us to take some of those. One of them they showed us had room for 50 sisters. But you can't get vocations in Italy, and the Americans don't want to go to Italy so much. So we felt the easier thing to do is come to America, and the doors opened. And so here we are. We're glad we came. It's nice now to be able to speak and think in your own language. So that's a big, big plus. I did enjoy the Italian culture and the people, and Italy is a beautiful country. We enjoy the beauty of the quaintness of all the little villages. But just it's nice to be back here in America, and the American people are wonderful. And so we just want to be here praying for the country. There's a lot to pray for right now. So we're glad to be back here in America.
Very good.
Your mother misses the gelato, too.
Yeah.
I got good gelato right here in Glenside.
I bet
but,
you do.
Yeah. But
like really quickly, Ken, you know, Mother was talking about, you know, you'll be able to sort of judge something by the fruit it bears. I mean, God is making it abundantly clear to see the fruit in this instance of what Mother's founded. You know, the vocations are coming where other convents, monasteries and other orders are shrinking. This one's growing. It's a very regimented growth. It's an organized growth. You can really see the hand of God working. I know Mother does. We've had this conversation many times. So just thanks be to God for everything that we've been given, and the best is still yet to come.
Well, you know, Teresa of Avila said, there's no such thing as a sad thing. So when you grow in holiness, when you get closer to God and you see yourself through his eyes, you don't become sad, you become more joyful. When you see God and you know him in a much deeper way, how much your joy grows. And you see him, you see everyone through his eyes. The more you read these books and the more you apply them and try to live it, the more you see everyone through the eyes of Jesus. So you forgive people easier, in an easier way. You love them. You don't look at their faults. Things don't bother you the same. You have joy and peace. All the time, you know, and so that's why you can judge this as something really beautiful from God because of the fruit it bears in your life, you know, and the devil can't duplicate joy, you know, only God can give you that joy. So, you know, it comes from the Lord. It's our Lord Jesus reliving his life in each one of us. He loves us so much. He wants to relive his life in each one of us. He's a gentleman. He won't come unless you invite him.
I also want to give out
all
the...
All about love. Yeah. Think about it, Mother and Kat. Yeah. All about love. The divine will is a reciprocal of love. And it's really, I call it the four G's. You know, it's all about giving. And we know historically that it always feels greater to give than to receive. And that's a true statement. I think we all can attest to that. But see, we give our fiat. God gives us gifts. We take those gifts. We give it back to God. And then he gives us eternity, in essence. And I think one of the greatest examples, Mother and Ken, is St. Anne and St. Joachim. Remember, they had a very beautiful life. The only thing that they were missing and wanting in their union was they were childless. Mm-hmm. And what does God do? God gives them not only a child, he gives them the Blessed Mother. So they have everything being given to them. And what do? After 3 years, they give our Blessed Mother back to God, bringing her to the temple, childless again. the greatest joy in their lives, they sacrificed, they gave up even holy things. This is the example of Zavala.
Yeah.
And look what we get because they did that. A mother, pure and holy, that she grew up in the temple from the time she was 3 years old. So because Anna and Joachim made that great sacrifice, how the whole world was more blessed. Of course, Our Lady was conceived without original sin, so she was already perfect, you know. But living in the temple was a great blessing for her, growing up in the temple. She should be considered a doctor of the church, you know. She taught the apostles after our Lord rose from the dead, you know. She was teaching them a lot. So she's, you know, we have a beautiful, wonderful mother. No one like Our Lady. We are so blessed.
She'll be leading the teaching, too, in this second Pentecost that we're undergoing
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. I think it will all coincide with the reign of the divine will all at one time. You know, she's with us. Our Lord has been sending her so frequently, Medjugorje every day and Garabandal so frequently. In the past, it was only a few times that she would have apparitions. Our Lord would give apparitions to certain people in Lourdes and Fatima, just a few times. And then Our Lord is desperately trying to get us to turn to him and turn to his mother. She's the mediatrix of all graces. She's the co-redemptress. She's going to help us grow to love her son more. So we have to go to Our Lady. And so he's desperately sending her, hoping that we will be transformed. All the graces that have come out of Medjugorje, I've been there many times. I've seen so many conversions, so many people being transformed there through the grace. Our Lady is still appearing there. So, you know, we have and Eucharistic miracles. We've had more Eucharistic miracles in this past century than all the centuries before, because God is desperately trying to get us to believe and to grow in holiness and to love him. And when you receive Jesus in the Eucharist, realize he's with you 15 minutes, 20 minutes every after you receive him. You should stay in church and make a good time of thanksgiving. We always do that. After communion, Father Elijah sits down. He doesn't make any announcements. We sit there for 20 minutes before he gives the final blessing. Mm. But it's a great time because that's when God is working in your soul. And you don't want to miss out on that. So many people just receive him and they walk out and they're talking to their friends or talking to their friends in church. And you miss out on that beautiful time when, you know, the Eucharist is medicine and food for your soul, when he wants to work on your soul and help you grow in holiness. So you don't want to miss out on that great time. Love him there. Realize he's making love to you. He's within you. The two of you are one. You know, let that oneness of you and Jesus bear fruit in your life.
Yeah. Before we end the show today, I just want to, for our listeners, there is a local cenacle here in the Philadelphia area, although it's expanded. I think there's a 15 states now represented. But we meet every morning now, 7 days a week from 6 a.m. till 7:30 a.m. They do it early so that they can get in their cenacle and then still get the morning mass. But if you're interested in learning more about that cenacle, you can email me at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com, and I'd be more than happy to send you the information. Basically, Monday through Friday, we read through the Book of Heaven, volumes 1 to 36. And like Sister said, when we finish 36, we go back to 1. This time through, we stop a couple times each morning in case people want to comment. Or maybe tell the group what they've gotten out of it. And sister, we're blessed. We're blessed. We've had people now in Missouri, Wisconsin. We meet at 6 a.m. We have a woman from California, so it's 3 a.m. her time. She's getting up to join us. Mississippi, Florida, North Carolina. And it's a beautiful thing to experience and to go through this with other people. When I first started with Maureen and Company, there'd be anywhere between 15 and 20 of us on that call, and now it's over 30 each morning. And so,
that's beautiful.
Word,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the word is spreading. And then on Saturday and Sunday, what we do is pray the rounds. It usually doesn't go the full hour and a half. Usually an hour or so. But pray half a dozen rounds each of those mornings on the weekend. So like I said, reach out to me, and I'll give you all the information if you want to check it out.
God is so good. There's so many beautiful things happening. He's using internet to do it, and radio and TV, and, you know, so we're so blessed to be alive at this time in history. This is the greatest time to be alive, and although things are crazy in the world and the church is being crucified at this moment, it's gonna blossom into the most beautiful world and church we've ever had. So we have a lot to look forward to. God is doing great things. The world will only be transformed through His justice, which is His mercy. His justice is His mercy because that's His love trying to transform us. He told Louisa when she didn't want Him to chastise the people, He said, "But you don't understand. If I discipline them, their souls will be saved. The soul is much more important than the body. The body will die, but the soul will last forever." So that is His love and His mercy. So, you know, we know that things are going to happen in the world, but we have to just be grateful that God loves us enough to discipline us, to bring us back to the way we should be living. And so wonderful things are happening. We just have to be so grateful to Him and pray for all these people, pray for the souls to be saved during this time. When there are many natural disasters, too, that take place, people die suddenly. Should pray for souls to be saved.
Amen. We have just a minute left. So, Mother, I'll give you the final word. Peter, thank you again for doing what you do every other month and bringing along one of the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will or Father Celso. So certainly appreciate it. But final word, Mother?
Yes, we just want to thank our Lord for this time, and we ask Him to send to the intercession of Our Lady all the holy souls and in purgatory, all the saints and the angels to pray for us and intercede for us that we will live more totally in God's most holy divine will, that His Holy Spirit will be sent upon each one of us to obtain this great gift and to give Him all the honor and glory that He deserves with our lives. Amen.
Amen. Peter, thanks again, pal. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon. And for our listeners, appreciate whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to be with us today. And I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care and God bless.
God bless you, Ken. Bye.
Thank
Bye.
You, sister. Bye, thank Peter. You, Mother. Thank you.
Great being with
Bye,
you.
You too. Bye, see you, Peter. Thank you.